You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Breakthrough Investor Show. My name is Charles Rose Jr., and we focus on breaking through limitations and barriers to get you through that next level of investing. With me is my amazing co-host, William Palmer. And in today's episode, we will be talking about how to continue investing and scale your business, even when you run out of money.
That's right, Charles. And we'll also be talking about how we have found private money and how it changed our lives as investors. Let's get started.
Welcome to the Breakthrough Investor Show, where we guide you to financial freedom and break barriers in your investing to give you the secrets to success. And now, here are your hosts, Charles Rose Jr. and William Palmer.
Dude, this episode, I think it's going to be really good for us to talk about, because a lot of people, when they get to this point, they just don't know what to do. Many people give up. So I'm just going to say it, man. I got to steal the show for just 1 second because I want to say the topic, William. Can I?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hit me with it.
So today we're going to talk about what happens when you run out of money, right? Not out of, but out of. What happens when you run out of money? Man, this is so good, because William and I, we both we reached a point where we ran out of money. And William, man, why don't you do the honors of sharing your story of what happened when you ran out of money, man?
Yeah. So let's see. So I ran out of money at property number, I think it was 2. So real fast, I hit the ground running. And yeah. And then I hit a wall and was like trying to figure out, how do I buy the next property? How do I keep going? Because I didn't want to stop. Once you get that momentum, you really don't want to stop it. You want to keep going with that momentum, right? And then I kept, of course, I was a member of Master of Passive Income, and I had heard about this private money thing, right? So how do you get private money? Well, mostly that's going to come through people that you already know. And so I was like, well, okay, who do I know and all this other stuff? And what have I done to prove that I am going to be reliable, right? Because you really want to be reliable for private money, because you're using somebody else's money. And in my opinion, other people's money is definitely, you should treat it far more importantly than yours. If you do that and you're honest with what you're doing and what you're using it for, you're going to be fine.
William, and I don't mean to interrupt you. I love what you say is treated better than yours. Cause a lot of times you hear people say, you know, treat it like it's your own money. Well, I don't want everybody to treat my money like it's theirs, cause some people aren't good with their money. So I love that you said that. So I never say treat it like it's your own money. I say treat it better. I love that.
Absolutely. So, basically I reached out to another friend of mine, and actually you'll laugh, Charles, cause you know who this is, but it was a friend of mine that ended up on this. He'll be on the show at some point, but we were talking and he said, well, I know this guy. Why don't I reach out to him for you and see if he's interested? And if he's interested, he'll give you a call. So I want to explain something. If you have somebody who has private money, you don't share that you have that specific person's in private money. That's guarded. And the reason I say that is because you don't want anybody and everybody to hit this person up saying, oh, you have money, can I use it for this? I want to invest in this, I don't know, the next fidget spinner or something like that, right? So it needs to be legitimate. So you want to protect your private money, guys. And the way that I would recommend, if you have any of those and you're like, this person is looking for this, you go to their private money guy on their behalf and say, this person's doing this. If you're interested, I'd love to share either their information with you or share your contact information with them. So that's how I recommend that transaction happen. Because if they don't want to be interested, you don't want to have shared their information. So that's how that happened. And we had he called me and he said, would you like to have coffee? And of course I was very excited at that prospect. And I said, absolutely. So we set a date and we went and had coffee, and I explained to him the couple of deals I had done so far and why I did it, what the exit strategy was, and what the method was that I was going to use going forward. And I kid you not, at the end of that conversation, he finished his cup of coffee and he goes, so do you want to check now? He's like, I'll give you about $250,000. And I was like, whoa, 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 easy. Why don't I get a property first and we'll talk about it and then we'll, and he's like, okay, sure. And I mean, it blew my mind. A cup of coffee and starting to build that relationship is really what catapulted that. And it's worked well. He's helped me buy several properties since then, including my mobile home park, actually. So that's basically how I got started. And you really don't know. I don't know about you, Charles, but you really never know where you're going to find private money. I mean, I found one at the landfill, believe it or not. I was, Dustin loves this story for some reason, but I was throwing junk out of a back of a trailer into the landfill, and it was hot, smelly. It was gross. And I look up and I'm wearing long sleeve shirt and pants and gloves and tossing stuff. And I look up and there's a guy wearing a t-shirt, shorts, and Crocs, throwing stuff out of the back of his truck. And I just remember looking up going, that is the weirdest thing I've ever seen somebody wear to the landfill, to be throwing out like decking material with like rusty nails and screws and all kinds of stuff. And I just remember being like, that's strange. Went back to what I was doing and couldn't help myself. And I was like, God, am I supposed to be talking to this guy? And I let it rest for about 30 seconds and I couldn't help myself again. And I just looked up and I had to yell because it was so loud and said, hey, what do you do for a living? And lo and behold, the guy goes, well, and I mean, he had a mohawk and the whole nine yards. And like, it was just kind of funny. It just kind of struck me as funny. But he yells at me and he goes, well, I used to be a doctor, but I made so much money in real estate that I stopped doing that to become a full-time investor and all this. And I was like, you, me, coffee. And he goes, sure. And so I gave him my phone number. And yeah, we met up for coffee, and really interesting guy. His story is really cool. And there's more people that could be private money investors around you than you think. That I absolutely guarantee. How about you, Charles? How'd you get into it?
Dude, man. Oh gosh. Where do I get started? Because it's a long story, but I'm going to try to cut it short, William. So for me, when I ran out of money was after my second deal. So on the third deal was where I needed to tap into some creative type of strategies. And so I remember, you know, because on the first deal, I used a combination of cash and my 401k and all that stuff. There are ways you can cash it out. You might have to receive a penalty. And even if you don't want to cash it out, you could take a 401k loan. Whole nother topic for another day. But I ran out of money after my first two deals. And I was at, you know, just like William, I wanted to keep that momentum going, you know? And so I was like, man, I want to close 12 properties a year. So I was thinking I should be able to do one property a month. So that's what I was thinking. And so I remember, I discovered private money, and I was honestly, I was afraid to ask for the money. I was like, man, this is just, you know, I just feel like, you know, this is people's money. This is some of them, this is their life savings. So I was kind of afraid to do it, but I started like learning. So one of the things when I get scared, a lot of times I realize that, you know, maybe I'm afraid for a reason, right? Maybe I'm scared because I need to be more prepared. Oh, that rhymes. Maybe I'm scared because I need to be more prepared. And so that's when I started like diving into like learning so much, asking everyone I know, you know, Dustin was one of the persons, he coached me and William, Dustin Heiner with Master Passive Income. And then, you know, I signed up for several other programs and I just wanted to learn more about it. Right. And that's how I kind of like learned how to, you know, get it and talk to so many private money lenders. But actually, William, my third deal, I didn't buy it with private money, actually. You know, a lot of people didn't know that. They think I jumped right into private money. So because I told you I was scared, you know, I was afraid. So I was kind of like, you know, learning more and everything.
Guys, listen to that. This guy is good at getting private money and he was scared to do it. So if he can do it, you can absolutely do this.
100%. And I want them to do it better than I did it. Right. And so, yeah, so I was scared. I was learning and everything. And I was even like doing like private money presentations with potential people. Like William said, you don't know who could be a private money lender. But my third deal, I had a really good deal that I was able to get under contract. And so I was actually able to do a little bit of creative financing where I found I actually found a lender who would accept a borrowed down payment. But the only thing is I had to have that money seasoned for 60 days, right? And so some lenders, they don't do it at all. But this particular lender, you know, I talked with him up front because I don't want to have any issues. And he's like, well, you know, it's okay, you know, with us only if you have the money seasoned and you come for 60 days. So I had to like ask the seller for a 30-day extension on my contract. And I was like, I was so afraid to do that. But thank God they accepted it. And so I was able to close my third property with just using the nothing down, using borrowed money from a personal loan as a down payment. rate. And that was like mind blowing. I was like, wow, you know, can I didn't know I could really do this. But I was like, you know, this is great, but not every seller is going to give me a 30-day extension on the contract. You know what I mean? So I need to, like, you know, find some other ways of doing it. And so I was already, even though I was scared, I was already building my private money network, meeting with people and just kind of sharing what I'm doing and everything. Never really asking them direct because I kind of didn't want to ask them directly. You know, I was doing it more like, you know, hey, this is what I'm doing. And if you know anyone who wants to invest, you know, and one thing I learned too, William, is the way you frame your questions is so important. What I never do is ask them, can you lend me money for this incredible deal, or can you lend me money? Can you give me money? No, you make it about them, right? You know, either I say, do you know anyone who would be open to be a part of this deal? Or do you know anyone who would like to make returns higher than what a bank would pay you for your money? Ways like that. Or even if I, you know, now I'm a little bit more direct, I could say, you know, would you be open to making more money than your bank would pay you or whatever, or what would, you know, or even asking them like, hey, here's this incredible deal. I'd like for you to be a part of this opportunity. What would it take to get you to be a part of this? Right. So you just keep on putting it, making it about them. Right. And so as I was closing my third deal, I had this deal that feel like it popped out of nowhere. And it was like this single family home with a tenant in it, $36,000. And that property is worth over 100 and something, maybe over $120,000 today. But anyway, and so I was like, I could not pass that up. Yeah, I got that under contract like maybe 2 weeks before closing the other one that I use a personal loan for. And so I was like, okay, I had to really like tap into like this private money network I was building. And interestingly, I was talking to my closing attorney, my title agent, actually. And so I asked him, I said, hey man, you know, I'm really looking to scale my business. And, you know, I'm looking for private money lenders and everything. He said, really? He said, I didn't know you were looking. He said, I have several private money lenders you know, they're private, obviously, but they told me that, you know, have you seen anyone who seems, you know, to be a good fit? Let us know and introduce us. And he's like, the type of deals you're getting, Charles, like, you know, you'll have no issues getting these funded. And so he connected me with a friend of his who funded that deal 100%, no questions asked. I mean, it was mind blowing. And so, like I said, it is a long story. So I met so many private money lenders after that. And I like using that guy because he's really good. He always show up to the closing table. But like, as William mentioned, like, you don't know who's in your network or you don't know who has money. And so one of my friends who last I heard, he lost his job as an engineer, but I still was talking to him because he's a good friend of mine. And I mean, like, this dude literally lost his job right after he got married. So he was going on his honeymoon trip to Jamaica, from Texas to Jamaica, and didn't even know what was going to happen. And I hadn't spoken to him in a while, but I had reached out to him just to get some feedback on my presentation, because he's one of those friends who gives like really good, like, constructive feedback. And so lo and behold, I found out that this guy, you know, yeah, he lost his job, but he was determined to never let that happen again. And his wife built a multi-million dollar business. You know what I mean? I was like, and multiple businesses. Didn't know that. You know what I mean? This is the same guy who I graduated college with, right? So he became one of my top private money investors. So this is, you know, this is just how we got started in it. But when you run out of money, there is so many ways to get money. You know, we just spoke about private money, right? Borrowing money from an individual instead of borrowing money from a bank. We talked about using a personal loan as a down payment if the lender allow it. There's so many other ways. You know, you have creative financing ways like seller financing. So you go to the seller and the seller will finance the property for you instead of the bank doing it, right? That's just one way. Or you can get into a JV deal. I have one JV deal where that partner, he brings all the money and I find the properties and I manage the property. I do the work. And so there's so many ways to do it. So when you run out of money, you have no excuse to break through that next level of investing.
Well, here's another neat story for you, Charles. So I had one that ended up being a zero down deal also. And so I bought an investor friend that was going to my monthly meetup that I hold. He was like, hey, I got this house. I want to liquidate it. It's worth some more from when I bought it, but it's still a good cash flowing property. I'm just curious if you'd be interested. I said, yeah, I'd be interested. Well, we go look at it. We settle on a deal. I go to my private money guy and I say, hey, this is what I've got. This is what I'd like to do. Now, I had another property that my private money guy liked, and he used that property as collateral. So I got the full purchase price. I think it was $120,000 for a duplex. And he took a secondary lien on another property because he liked that property. He had helped me buy it. So he knew it really well. And he was like, I like that. So he used a lien. Well, it just so happened the timing for the time of year when this was happening, the guy I was buying it from said, I got to close here or it's going on the market and I want to close here so that way I can get into this other deal. So it was a really short, really quick sale. And then it just so happened that everything hit and I was like, it's going to drain my bank accounts to the point where I was uncomfortable with how little was going to be there. And I was in the middle of applying for a business line of credit and all this other stuff. It was just a lot. And so it was just too much. And I decided I was going to pass. So I go to the seller, who was a friend and another investor. And I said, hey, man, this is a little bit too tight for my comfort. I think I'm going to have to pass on this. And he said, okay, well, why? And I explained. He said, okay, well, it's like, how much do you need to be comfortable? And I said, I don't know, probably $10,000. It really is not much, but you'll find in real estate, you'll have a lot in the account one time and then you'll have a little bit in the account the next month. It fluctuates a lot. It's kind of mind blowing when you think about it, but he wrote me a $10,000 personal line of credit at closing. So he got the full 120 and then he gave me $10,000. And out of that $10,000, they used, I think it was $5,500, $6,500 for closing. And I got paid at closing. I got a check for, I think it was like $3,500, something like that, at closing. And it was such a weird feeling. Cause I was like, did this just happen? And I used that money from him to pay back his line of credit and to pay my private money guy for about 2 months. And then my stuff all came in and then I could take care of everything. So it's all about like sharing what's going on and why you're trying to do something or why you can't do it, because you can get creative. And sometimes if you can't see a way to be creative, other investors can find a way to be creative for you. They'll happily, most of them are going to be very happy to help you.
That is so true. A lot of people think that no one wants to help them, or, you know, they have these limiting beliefs, right? That there's not enough, right? Scarcity and lack.
Scarcity mindset. Yeah.
Scarcity mindset. Yeah. And, you know, there's so many people out there who want to help you. The reason why we're doing this podcast is because we want to help you. And we have like phenomenal people we're bringing to you. I mean, people who have been investing anywhere from 5 years to 30, 40 years and have been very successful, right? And have accepted interviews on our podcast. And we've interviewed some already, right? Who, without being paid, they do it because they want to help you get to that next level. So, I mean, so that's literally like a shameless plug for you to keep on listening, because this is all about helping you. And we're going to do everything we possibly can to help you break through that next level. Right, William?
Absolutely. And just for anybody listening, it's like, well, I'm not really into real estate. I'm into stocks or I'm into this other stuff. Well, we don't just interview real estate people. Now, real estate people, you'll probably get a little more of those because that's the stuff that me and Charles do. But we have people that do stocks, like life coach stuff, financial advisors. So, I mean, got some really interesting people that do some interesting investments. So if you're into some other stuff, you might want to keep listening because there's probably an episode in here for you.
That is so true, man. That's so true. But William, man, is there anything that you think we miss on this topic of running out of money, man? Because I mean, it's so many things to cover, right?
There's a ton. Really just being understanding that there are so many people out there that could definitely be a help to you, that could be your private money lender. But if you don't share what you're doing, they will never know and they will not be able to help you. They won't advertise. People like that don't generally advertise. It comes word of mouth. So you have to get comfortable sharing what your dreams and your aspirations are. Stuff starts to happen when you do that. So if you're looking for that kind of stuff, don't be afraid to share it. If you're getting some negative feedback from that kind of stuff, well, I hate to be maybe the bearer of bad news for some people, but if that's happening, you maybe need to start changing your friend group a little bit and start hanging out with the people that are going to encourage you and things like that. So
it's so true.
Yeah, that would be my advice.
Yeah, 100%. Get around the right people. And if you are struggling to even get in the right mindset, right? You may be like, you know, I know what to do, but I'm struggling. Like I just, you know, I know someone who maybe they lost a lot of money, or they over leveraged themselves, or they had a bad experience with a rental property, or whatever it is that you're investing in. And it's better for me to just stop right now. Maybe if you're struggling with that, we literally record an episode on how to have a winning mindset. So if you haven't listened to that, make sure you listen to that, because that's going to be so key to helping you even be in the right frame of mind to pursue other strategies when you run out of money. And there's so many of them. So, we just want to help you. We just want to give you everything that we can to help you get to that next level of investing. So thank you so much for listening in, and we will see you all on the next episode.